Greetings today, pilgrims. Beautiful, beautiful day today. Probably going to have some baptismal rains in the evening, which is only appropriate for the Saturday evening before Palm Sunday. So all is just as it should be, the way I see it. Let's see if that lasts once I go out today. But as for right now, you know, which is all that matters, right? Everything is just as it should be. Praise God. And we have our 39th episode of our Lenten Daily Devotion today on this March 27th. This is the last episode of the theme, Significant Changes Happen. That's something to celebrate. Significant Changes Happen. And we've got some wonderful background music today from The Sounds of Spring by Tim Janis. The Sounds of Spring. Tim Janis does some wonderful background nature sounds. Check them out on YouTube. This is really, really a good one. It's about time for The Sounds of Spring, isn't it? Amen. Our cerulean surf and sea candle is just reflecting white wax beautifully today. It's just looking so pure, pearl-like even. And we have this for our beverage. What do you think? Can you tell? Chocolate coffee. Amen. That's a leftover from my son and daughter-in-law's last visit. The chocolate coffee. Okay. Quite a concept. Hey, today, we've really got a good devotion today. You know, I probably say this too often. Boy, this is really good, and that's really good, and this is going to be awesome and all that. This is good today. It's got a lot of stuff in it. We're going to get right to it. It's the same pattern, as always, on our 38 episodes before this one. We're going to start with Scripture, go on to some Mary Alice Mulligan thoughts, some own reflections for ourselves. We're going to have a Mary Oliver poem about dogs. She writes many, she has a whole set of poems about dogs, and we're going to hear one today. So for all the dog lovers, a little Mary Oliver for you, and we'll close with a prayer, right? So let us begin. She has given us two scripture readings for today. The second one is just one verse, but it's actually very interesting because of the Bible I'm using today and what it actually says, and I'll talk about that when it comes. But our main scripture is the great hunk of joy that's in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One of the greatest texts of Paul's letters, Romans 5, 1 through 11, where we learn about faith and the magical beauty of what faith can do in our life, even though it's nothing that the world can understand or prove. It's the answer to everything, right? So let's go there first, and then we're going to jump over to the Paul's letter to the Galatians. And chapter 3, verse 28, one verse, chapter 3, verse 28 of Paul's letters to the Galatians. First, the Romans, though, before we go to Galatia. Here's chapter 5 of the letter to the Romans, verses 1 through 11. This is wonderful. Prepare your ears for some spiritual massaging right here. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure. And endurance develops strength of character in us. And character strengthens our confident expectations of salvation. And this expectation will not disappoint us. For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's judgment. For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by His life. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. Amen. That text right there, Romans 5, 1 through 11, you may want to turn back to that in your own Bible a couple times today or tomorrow and just read through it sentence by sentence, because every sentence is filled with good news, every single sentence in that scripture. And now she asks us to turn over to Galatians 3, verse 28. I'm going to read you this verse just as it's written in the Bible I'm using. See if you notice anything. Here it is, Galatians 3, verse 28. This is Paul speaking. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all Christians. You are one in Christ Jesus. For you are all Christians. Now, I found that interesting, that for one thing, the word Christian shows up in Paul's letter to Galatia. And if it shows up in any other translations, because that seems unusual to me to be using the word Christian. So I looked in 14 different translations, common translations, King James, English Standard, NIV, on and on. 14 different translations, and none of them say, for you are all Christians. All of them say something to the effect of, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, but leaves out the part, for you are all Christians. So here we have an example of interpretation for the modern audience that really changes the meaning of Scripture. It's a very dangerous thing. It says basically, to be Christian is how you are saved. Jesus never says that, never would say it. He wouldn't know the word Christian. He would never used it, right? Paul may have known the word later, after the Antioch experience with Peter, when the Romans started calling the little community in Antioch little Christs, which translated into Christians. But you see this word Christian, how it's used today? It's used just as a label. So if you wear the label Christian, you're one in Jesus Christ. And that's where we've gone off the tracks with the church. It's not about wearing a label, folks. It's not about declaring yourself a Christian rather than anything else, right? It's about receiving Christ into your heart, right? And becoming one in Christ Jesus. All right, let's hear what Mary Alice Mulligan has to say. And this is good stuff too from her today. I give her credit. Amen. This passage in Romans says it bluntly. We were reconciled to God while we were still God's enemies. Isn't that amazing? People rarely quote this part of Romans, but it is a stark statement. God justifies us. We do nothing. Got it? God justifies us. We do nothing. Paul says it in various ways. It's always God's grace that reaches down wherever we are and rescues us in spite of ourselves. While we are still sinning, ignoring God completely, grace gets poured all over us. Christ gives his life to show God's love. What a glorious, holy gift. But let's face what that means. We are saved while we are, quote, other, unquote. We are saved while we are other. Our joyous response to God's grace might be to become followers of Jesus Christ, but we are not saved because we are Christian. Amen. Paul states, people are reconciled to God while they are still God's enemies. The enemies are reconciled. This applies to everyone. Since people do nothing to earn grace, no one is outside that grace. Now get this. In other words, there are no longer any others because Christ came for the world. Some reflective questions for you today. Think about your thoughts that every person is reconciled to God while they are yet sinners. Every person is reconciled to God while they are yet sinners. That's already been done, I add. How about this? What does it mean that there is no longer Jew or non-Jew, no longer male or female? What does that mean? And how about your own story of salvation? Can you remember when you first realized that you were reconciled to God? Already? That you were forgiven of your sins? Already? That you are saved? Already? How does that feel? And finally, are you willing to be generous and share your story with someone else? Amen. Are you willing to be generous and share your story with someone else? So let me take this opportunity to ask any of you out there who may be interested to participate in a new segment we're doing in the worship service on Sunday called Meet the Flock. Bruce Condell was our first victim. And what we did was we sent Bruce a list of questions about his spiritual life. He picked five of them, and he talked to us about his faith life and his spiritual life and the people who influenced it and how he practices his faith every day. Wondering if you'd like to do that. We'd like to get some voices that the congregation doesn't hear from often in the worship service and be willing to have that conversation with me in front of the church on a Sunday. Are you willing to participate in a Meet the Flock segment? If so, just drop me a text or email me anonymously and we can talk about it. No commitment, but it's something to pray about. Amen. How generous can you be? All right, let's move on. Told you today was just full of good stuff, and we're going to have this poem by Mary Oliver. Maybe this will put a little smile on your face and touch your heart. As I said, she has several poems about dogs, including a whole series of dogs of poems about her dog, Percy. And this is actually Percy 3, this poem. It's called Little Dog's Rhapsody in the Night. Little Dog's Rhapsody in the Night by Mary Oliver. He puts his cheek against mine and makes small, expressive sounds. And when I'm awake, or awake enough, he turns upside down, his four paws in the air, and his eyes dark and fervent. Tell me you love me, he says. Tell me again. Could there be a sweeter arrangement? Over and over he gets to ask it. I get to tell. Little Dog's Rhapsody in the Night by Mary Oliver. He puts his cheek against mine and makes small expressive sounds. And when I'm awake, or awake enough, he turns upside down, his four paws in the air, and his eyes dark and fervent. Tell me you love me, he says. Tell me again. Could there be a sweeter arrangement? Over and over, he gets to ask it. I get to tell. Let us pray. Jesus, Savior of the world, thank you for including even me in your salvation. For I was certainly other than you. Amen.